PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
It's the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
What a model of politeness you two are. There is an air of quiet death in this house, and I do not like the way it smells.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Took me a second to realize where that was from.
Yeah! Welcome to episode 293 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling in the Crespediso studio. How you guys doing?
How can such a talented man make such a boring movie?
Oh, I can't believe... Yeah, that's right. I forgot he didn't like that one. I forgot.
Or Lincoln! His last two, literally. Lincoln literally put me to sleep.
I rewatched Lincoln on Netflix recently, and I was like, I'll just put this on and then stop watching after 10 minutes. And it sucked me in. God. I watched the whole thing.
It's so crazy. The movie put me to sleep.
I haven't been
straight
able to
up. Through
it.
Yeah, I like halfway through, I'm just like, and I can't do this anymore.
Current threat level is turquoise. Prepare to evaluate your truths. We have a first-time guest, ladies and gentlemen. He is a filmmaker, producer, philanthropist, chairman of board... Chairman? Or chairperson? Chair?
Board member.
Board member! We have a board member, several boards, nonprofit boards. He is the founder of You Do You, the marketing head at United Arts of Central Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Chris Majoka. Yeah! The applause. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thank you so much for joining us, sir. Nice to meet you.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
Boris is to thank for this mutual acquaintance, this hookup here. He was like, I got a list of people for you. And when he gave me that list, he was like, this one is top of the list. Get this one on soon, as soon as I can. Wow. And that was like, I did have to reach out to you like 2 months ago to figure out when can we schedule this. But finally, you're here. Chris, thank you so much. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's lovely, hot, sweaty day in Central Florida.
As always, bro.
classic Orlando summer.
We roll.
At least it's sunny right now. Later, I'm sure it'll be gray and rainy. Yeah. And then you think, oh, the rain, yeah, it'll cool things off. No.
Nope.
It turns it into a sauna. Mm-hmm.
And then after the rain, it's just a steam bath.
And then just a steam bath. And then that's when the air here is actively trying to murder you.
Yes, it's trying to drown you. Yes, exactly. Yes.
In your breathing life. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful place to live. I love
Welcome
Central Florida.
To Florida.
Big fan. Big fan.
Where the atmosphere is actively trying to kill you.
Yes. It's the best. You can't beat it.
You really can't.
You can in Southern California, where it's like the same type of weather, but without the humidity.
Right.
But then everyone knows that already.
And you have to double the price of everything.
You double the price of everything, and you tripled the population of everything. So you think I-4 is bad. Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, I want nothing to do with those LA traffic jams.
I was actually thinking more of San Diego.
Chris, I would murder somebody. Like, straight up murder somebody.
You would. You'd be that guy.
I would.
You'd be that guy getting into debt and then murder your wife and kids and then stash them at your job. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that story?
And then get out of my car in the middle of a traffic jam and start murdering random people.
Yeah, why would you do that? You're like,
because I'm taking somebody with me.
Because you think it's GTA for real. You're that guy.
Yes.
That guy.
Yes.
Achievement on
No. I think it's Red Dead Redemption for real. I'm on a horse with a cowboy hat.
Well, that's a psychotic break then, because now at least GTA is like modern cities. Now you're imagining you're a cowboy.
Yes,
you've never even stood next to a horse in your life.
Exactly.
At least that's newsworthy, though.
Yeah,
exactly.
If you come up on a cowboy,
and I don't get the death penalty.
That'd be because it's a psychotic break. You're obviously crazy. Yeah,
is a horse an accomplice at that point?
Can a horse consent? I don't think so.
This
is my getaway horse.
No, I will make the horse in a somehow I will weaponize the horse.
Weaponize the horse.
like every time it breathes, bullets fly out of something.
You give the horse the option whether to choose, like one stomp for yes, two stomps for no, and then you hold a gun to someone, and the horse goes.
Boom! The horse.
It was decided.
The horse.
The horse decided.
And they deny everything.
And then they use the same thing in court. Everything's no. It's like, we have footage of you. He's like, nope, I don't.
Wasn't me.
not me. That's so I guess that's what happens when you weaponize Mr. Red. Do not weaponize Mr. Red is the theme of today's show. Animalia is not to be... There actually is a history of animals being used in warfare. That's not a...
For a very long time.
For a very long time.
Right now!
Hannibal and the elephants all the way up to the Russians and the dolphins and the Americans and the dolphins and the...
And we got dogs, too.
And the Icelandics and the dolphins and the Japanese. Yeah. Well, Japanese versus... Maybe it's
Japanese
that,
versus the dolphins.
Is that why everyone's weaponizing dolphins? Because they're all trying to go down, go against the Japanese? Is this some sort of weird long game thing?
It is.
What the hell are we talking
Fuck
about?
Fuck you, dolphin!
This is crazy. We are all drinking Orange Blossom Pilsner. Cheers to OBP. This episode not sponsored by OBP.
Might as well be.
Might as well be, because I love this stuff, and Tom is our friend.
I'm about to say, he sponsors us often enough.
He does. Tom's a great guy. All right, so let's get into the show. We're going to have a good time. And then the second half, we're going to talk about all the different things you do. I definitely want to hear about this You Do You. It's a documentary... like making production company not for profit you're doing. That sounds super cool. Definitely excited to hear about that. Maybe Drew will have some sort of you have any documentary short ideas you want? You've been in a documentary short.
I have.
He's been featured as a credited
as a doctor. Not a real doctor.
In the bottom says not a real doctor. So he has experience with documentary shorts.
Yes, I do.
Definitely looking forward to talking about that. It's gonna be cool, as well as the United Arts of Central Florida. I want to find out what that's all about. But before we do that, we need to help the people. And we help the people by telling them what they can watch on the Netflix, the Hulu, the Amazon. And we do that with the streaming pick of the week. I had to redo... Where's the button, right? I had to reset the tablet.
Most people...
Factory reset.
Most people get better at things while you do... While, the longer they do them, you seem to get worse.
All right, look.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just putting that out there.
While Chris uses the randomizer 9000.1, I'll explain that I've been having tablet issues, but it's a new tablet. I should be having issues with it, so I did a factory reset, which then necessitated having to re-download...
Everything.
So not only my soundboard, but all my sounds. And my sounds are mixed up between different cloud accounts.
You had to find them.
It was crazy. I almost lost a couple, but they're
I'm
here.
Sure you did.
But we're good to go, so that is fine. What?
You didn't lose any of the air horns, though.
The first thing I made sure we had. The first thing. I was like, oh, God. I almost shut down the entire production of Cinema Crespi, so if I couldn't get that air horn.
I'd have been okay with that.
That's not true. I know you would be okay with that. All right, here we go. Chris, let us know, what is this week's streaming pick of the week?
It is Thor Ragnarok.
Hey!
Yeah, I know that song. I watched... I'm almost embarrassed as to how much of this movie I've rewatched on Netflix.
Yeah, you're enjoying going back to it?
It is.
Yeah, it's a fun movie, right? Have you seen it, I'm asking?
I have not. I've seen the previews and am questioning whether or not it's worth it to watch.
Okay, let's ask you. Well, let's get a baseline. Obviously, Drew's a fan.
It's so worth it.
Let's get a baseline. So now when it comes to, let's start overall, comic book movies, where are you? Yay or nay on them, overall?
I am yay. I was not raised as a huge comic book person, but I certainly love the movies that have come out in recent years.
Marvel, DC, do you have a preference in terms of the movies?
Not necessarily.
So you just see them all as whatever?
Yep.
So if you haven't seen Thor Ragnarok, does that mean that when it comes to all the Marvel stuff, you're not the type of guy that's like, I gotta see them all? Like, have you seen... Since then, Black Panther, Infinity War, and Ant-Man. That's crazy. Three movies have come out since that. And Ant-Man and the Wasp. Have you seen any of those?
I have seen Black Panther.
Okay. Which is, alright, so it's like Thor Ragnarok or Ant-Man. These are the movies that are the standalone films where, even though they do connect in some ways, you can still watch them as your own separate thing. Thor Ragnarok, you could watch it as it's... I mean, for the most part, the beginning setup where Loki is like undercover...
I mean,
that's from the end of
the beginning setup is from the end of the last Thor movie.
Yeah,
but
that's just like a quick, and then they're moving on.
The Hulk setup is from the last of.
It's from Civil War. It's from Captain America: Civil War.
Civil War.
Yeah, because the end of Captain. Did you see that one? Captain,
yes.
Okay, so if you remember at the end of that one, Hulk gets in the jet
and he's just,
flying off.
He just flies away.
Yep.
And that's pretty much the last you see.
No, not Civil War. I'm sorry. Age of Ultron.
Yeah, it was.
I'm sorry.
It was the.
You're right.
It was the second Avengers.
You're correct. Yes, you're correct. Yeah. I apologize. I'm so sorry. And he's flying off in the Quinjet. Then they come back, and he's like, "Nope, I'm depressed." And then he just flies off. Ragnarok then picks up the Hulk. From that point.
Yeah.
And a whole new director, Taika Waititi, who did Hunt for the Wilder People and What We Do in the Shadows. We're a big fan of his around these parts. And it definitely has his sense of humor.
He's a really funny Kiwi.
Yeah, he is. And that very specific sense of humor he has comes through in this movie in such a way that it's like, I can't believe this is a Marvel Disney movie.
The Rock guy is interesting. The Rock guy,
you could... Korg?
Whatever. Korg, you could throw him, literally, you could take him out of Thor Ragnarok and insert him into any other of Taika Waititi's movies.
Because it's just and it's just it would him.
Because
it's him.
Exactly.
It's literally him.
It worked. He's like the heart and soul of it all.
Reportedly, as Chris Hemsworth was making this movie, I don't know who he was talking to, but he was telling people, like, we are doing some weird stuff over
Fuck
here.
Yeah, they were.
And he was, like, very excited about the direction they were taking it in.
I mean, the action was amazing.
The action's pretty... I mean, Marvel movies aren't necessarily known for their action sequences, ironically.
These are very good, though.
They're very well done.
Cate Blanchett slaughters it as the villain.
She's the villain.
She's literally fantastic.
I love her.
Jeff Goldblum plays a space DJ.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum. You haven't heard about Jeff Goldblum's space
that's
DJ?
That's gotta be worth watching.
That is right there. He pops up. He's so great.
I just gotta show you a picture of Jeff Goldblum and Thor Ragnarok.
He's so fantastic. You'll be sold. And then the pantheon of these movies, Benicio del Toro plays a character in the Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. Him and Jeff Goldblum's characters are brothers in the comic books. So technically, they're movie brothers, which is a lot of fun.
Very nice.
That makes for a very odd Jeff Goldblum and Benicio del Toro is a strange twofer. Yeah, Thor Ragnarok is the one movie where it's like, oh, they're really letting it their freak flag fly. I mean, there's a
Jeff Goldblum, space DJ.
Space DJ.
I gotta see this.
Yeah, there you go. There's a plot point involves something called the Devil's Anus.
Yep.
Which is a collapsing star inside an Einstein-Rosen bridge or something.
Yes.
So it's
a collapsing neutron star.
Neutron star. Yeah. So it's absurd, crazy sci-fi mixed with the
fun comic
as
stuff.
Many dick jokes you can get into a PG-13 Disney movie.
No, you know, exactly. It's
style and, humor.
And seriously, on top of having the best action of probably all the Marvel movies, it also happens to be one of the funniest all of the Marvel movies.
Really? I think so, yeah.
They
turned
Thor into, like, this meathead Joker guy.
He's a surfer god now.
He's Channing Tatum now.
Yeah, yeah. He's surfer Thor. He's like, what's up, bro?
It's so weird, but that's
so what I'm just going to go punch that thing in the face.
That's what they've done with him, and it works. Mm-hmm. It works.
It works. Hulk, he's vocalizing more, so they have, like, a buddy, anti-buddy, like a buddy cop type thing, or two people working together.
Yeah, exactly.
Going on.
Two meatheads.
It's a lot of fun. He sees
Hulk,
Hulk naked. And he's like, I can't get that. He's like, oh, it's in my head now. That's what he says.
Yeah, it's in my head now.
You see Hulk butt? I mean, it's a weird movie, man.
It's so strange.
It's a weird movie.
But it's awesome.
So there you go. I'm glad that it came up, that we can rant about it for a few minutes there. Definitely worth checking out. I think it stands above the others. Because, like...
I mean, it's definitely the best Thor movie they've made.
Easily the best Thor. I mean, sorry, Kenneth Branagh, but that's the truth.
Seriously? Yeah. I mean, Black Panther was really... It was on... If you liked Black Panther, like, this is on par with the originality and the weirdness and just the fun.
The individuality of it. Even though it's part of this machine, the way Black Panther still felt like, oh, this is still something unique within this ecosystem.
Absolutely.
Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, it's definitely... It's its own thing.
Which is like... Like Drew said, the third Thor movie.
It's one of my favorite Marvel movies of all time. Yeah. I never would have thought that.
And I'll finish with this. A lot of these Marvel movies, especially since they're on Netflix now, I'll rewatch them. Civil War, I pulled up the airport scene, the big battle. Black Panther comes out, I'll probably give that a good rewatch.
That's just a scene, though.
That's what I'm saying. Most of these things, I'm putting them on. I'm like, hey, or Doctor Strange. Did you get to see Doctor Strange?
Yes.
That's a weird one, right?
Yeah, that's
I definitely
wacky as shit.
Skipped some of the scenes to get to, like, the astral plane stuff and the slow motion stuff, right? When I put on Thor Ragnarok, I was like,
it's just on.
Yeah, I was like, let me put this on and see if I fast forward, see if I get bored with it. Mm-hmm. I just
watched it.
I like Lincoln. Yeah. I just watched it. I was like, this is good. This is really good. It reminds me of the first time I ever watched a Lego movie when it was, like, finally on HBO.
Yep.
And I was like, Lego movie, I'll just put this on while I do some editing on my computer. 10 minutes later, I realized, I am watching this movie. Yes. It's on in the background. I'm invested in it again.
Chris, everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome. Can't wait for that sequel. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be good stuff. So there we go. Your pick of the week. Excellent pick, Chris. And I love that's something you haven't seen, because now you have some homework.
I have some plans for this evening.
You got something to do. Yeah, it's a great, 2 hours? A little over 2 hours, right? It's a little bloated. Tessa Thompson's in it. Shout out to Tessa Thompson.
She's drunk the whole time.
Yeah, she's drunk the whole time. Oh, also, you appreciate this as a filmmaker. Taika Waititi and his crew developed a whole new high-speed lighting rig for one, like, 45-second sequence where it's slow-motion photography, but then the a light, what did we call it? Like, a long row of lights goes off in sequence above, and so the action is going slow, but the lighting creates a, like, almost a real-time shadow effect. So the lighting and the shadow goes by in real time, but what's happening is in
slow motion.
And it makes, like, a really weird ethereal effect.
It's almost like you're watching a moving oil painting.
Yes.
But it's definitely, like, film and people.
And someone's, and, like, someone's passing a light over it, and it's 3D, so the shadows are moving over it. It's very, very tripping. Yes, it's very cool. Definitely like oil painting, like Renaissance.
Yeah.
What if Hieronymus Bosch depicted an apocalyptic angel battle or something? Mm-hmm. It's interesting stuff. And then add some Led Zeppelin, you're off to the races.
Exactly, yes.
There you go. All right, let's talk about the new movies that came out this week. Drew, let's talk about that box office top five, all that money, dollar bills, y'all. Drew, where are we starting in top five?
We have a tie at fifth/fourth place.
Ooh, a tie. We have a tie.
Fatality.
Not the
Mission Impossible Fallout.
I gotta relearn these damn buttons.
And Alpha both made $10.5 million.
Wait, what was the first one? I'm sorry.
Mission Impossible Fallout. Mission:Impossible-Fallout.
It's already down to 10 million?
10.5, total of 180.
180, all right, $200 million Mission Impossible. That may be, well, that could be the highest grossing Mission Impossible movie in the U.S. Surprising how this is like the most successful Mission Impossible movie. It's the sixth one.
And $200 million these days ain't shit.
That's true. It's especially when your movie does have a budget there. What does it cost? $150, $175?
$178.
Yeah, that sounds about
right. I mean, Ant-Man and the Wasp has made $200 million in 7 weeks.
Which is, I think that's about par for those smaller Marvel movies.
Right.
Yeah, stuff like that there. Mission Impossible, we already talked about this. We reviewed it. You get a chance to see it? Are you a fan of these at all? Or
I saw the first, like, two, and...
Oh, and dropped off all the way back then? Yeah. They've gotten better.
And crazier.
Yeah, and probably. They've gotten better. Starting with the fourth one, when Brad Bird came on board, he kind of set a new tone for these movies, really did.
They turn into the Fast and Furious movies. The only reason I say that is because they've gone from these small little niche films, you know, like a spy movie, to this crazy action-packed fucking nonsense where entire towns are exploding and fucking Tom Cruise is flying helicopters and like, what the fuck is going on?
He's flying helicopters in this one, man.
Literally, it's flies a helicopter. It's him flying the helicopter.
It's really wild.
Like, not joking. Like, it's him.
You ever
see, no stunt double.
You ever seen the movie? It's a small film from 2001 called Way of the Gun. Benicio del Toro, Ryan Felipe.
I have not seen that.
It's a little gem, a small one. James Caan is in it as like the Winston Wolf fixer-upper type character, which is a lot of fun.
Doesn't Brad Pitt show up in that movie? Why do I want to say?
Because you're thinking of Black Brad Pitt, a.k.a. Tay Diggs.
No,
you're not. But Tay Diggs and Nikki Catt are like two bodyguard type bad guys in that one. That was written and directed by Christopher McQuarrie, who wrote The Usual Suspects, and then I think he also wrote At Pupil. And then that was the first movie he directed, and then he really didn't direct anything for a while, and then he hooked up with Tom Cruise, did that Jack Reacher movie, as well as the new one, I think, did both of them, and then the last two Mission Impossible movies. And he's grown quite a bit as like an action filmmaker. I think it helps that he's got Tom Cruise there. Like, this, we're doing this. I bet you Tom Cruise is like the secret director.
Yo, this is what we're doing. He's like, okay, we're doing that. Do what Tom says.
Yeah, he's like, yes, sir. Yes, Tom. All right, get here we go. If you like action movies, I think it's worth checking them out. Mission Impossible 3 is okay. It's J.J. Abrams. What do you think of J.J. Abrams?
I'm mixed on J.J. Abrams.
Okay, yeah. Bob, people have very strong opinions about this guy.
And I agree with actually, you know, kind of both sentiments or both sides of the aisle on it. Some of the things he does, I am a fan of, and other things are just a little
why
J.J. Abrams.
Yes, they are. Very J.J. Conspiracy theory. J.J. Abrams conspiracy theory alert. Here we go. J.J. Abrams started out as an actor. He's always been an actor. That was his first initial love. J.J. Abrams has since been hired as an actor by all these studio executives to play the role of a director, where then he sits down in these meetings and they tell him what they want. He's like, yes, yes, absolutely. And he makes the movies that the studios want to make because he's hired to play the role of the director. He's not really a director.
I would not be surprised.
Isn't that interesting? That's
he's an actor playing a director in real life.
Yes, that is your J.J. Abrams conspiracy theory of the week.
So is he collecting two paychecks?
He's collecting all the paychecks. Every paycheck there is to collect, he's getting them all. Star Wars being the biggest example, a lot of people really hate what he did with Star Wars. They're going to get a chance to hate it all over again with Episode 9.
He's directing that one. But that's the last one.
The last of this trilogy, yeah. But he finds a way to... As soon as he gets his fingers in something, Bad Robot is attached forever. Forever! Bad Robot's
so,
on everything.
So it's going wild. To be a Lucasfilm Bad Robot forever?
Yeah. Well, the Bad Robot, I don't think that Bad Robot name comes up in front of the Star Wars movies. I think they keep it off. Yeah, I think it's a Lucasfilm thing. That's a for-hire job. Anyway, for all the Star Wars people out there, apparently, I just learned this as well, all the people that, like, oh, he's ruined Star Wars. There is also a large contingent of Star Trek fans who
he got a chance to do both.
And they, just in the same way, they hate what he did to their franchise, just like the Star Wars fans hate what they did. So it's really funny, he's just going around ruining everything for everyone.
It's
just happening. People just let it happen.
Well, what a resume, right?
What a resume!
Resume is crazy as shit.
He's doing all the big movies. Oh yeah, I want to make a bunch of kids encounter an alien movie and have Steven Spielberg produce it. That's wild, right? All right, let me ask you this: Star Wars v Star Trek. Where do you think of that? Or are you a secret Stargate guy?
So I like Star Trek, but Star Wars is what I was brought up on.
And then what do you think of, since we're talking about it, J.J. Abrams? Let's talk about the new ones real quick. Episode 7, Force Awakens, go.
Force Awakens, I like for what it is in present day, our culture. You're never going to recreate the original Star Wars movies.
Which is what they were trying to do. But it still felt like, I liked it. We liked it, right, Drew? I can't remember.
It felt like fan service.
Yes.
The first one.
Yes. Agreed.
The first one, pure fan service.
100%. Which then brings us to Last Jedi. What do they get to the fan service? Mm-hmm. It's like, we're gonna destroy the Kylo Ren mask. We're gonna throw away all the stuff that you guys say you like, and we're gonna do all these different things.
Apparently. And that's what I liked about it.
That's what I liked about it too. I did find it funny that, but then again, this also plays into the whole previously how with the prequels and Star Wars fans revolted against George Lucas himself and what he wanted to do.
Well, yeah, because those three prequels were. God,
I got them pulled aside. Though. I'm rewatching him. I'm gonna open mind. I'm gonna watch him.
Jar Jar Binks.
Oh my god. Okay, no, that poor guy. He almost killed himself. He revealed Ahmed Best. He went on Twitter recently. He's like, I almost killed myself after the poor reception of Jar Jar Binks. And how much people hated me. They hated him so much.
It was awful.
It wasn't his fault. It was George Lucas's fault. George Lucas, meanwhile, he's rich. He's fine. He doesn't want to kill himself.
Only time that we know of.
The fans really didn't like how Luke Skywalker was in exile and he wasn't contributing to the cause anymore. It's like, Luke Skywalker would never do that. He would never just be on an island turning his back to everything, blah, blah.
He's seen too much.
Well, here's the thing. So George Lucas, after he sold Lucasfilm to Disney, J.J. Abrams still had, hey, could you come to our pre-production offices and just tell us what your ideas were so maybe we could cherry pick some stuff? And the main thing that they took from his big, this is my original plan, my original episode 7, the big thing they took was, oh, Luke Skywalker's in exile, having been disillusioned and having turned his back on everything and just, being a hermit. They liked that. And instead Lucas's version had that starting the movie, and they're like, well, we're going to make, classic J.J. Abrams mystery box. Where is Luke Skywalker? Yeah. We're going to say that to the whole very end thing. So the one thing that people are like, oh, we hate this J.J. Abrams, this isn't original Star Wars. Like, well, this idea came from the man himself, George Lucas, right. So you would have been unhappy no matter what.
I'm just glad we didn't get the Whills.
The Whills, oh yeah, that was his original plan, the tiny world of Star Wars. The microscopic world. Oh, who knows? It could have been fun, Drew. You never know.
It could have Osmosis been. Skywalker?
It would have been bad. Osmosis Jones. Yeah, you're already just talking about Osmosis Jones. Damn it, you're right. You're just talking about Osmosis Jones. Okay, so Star Wars over Star Trek. I'm with you on that one. I've never been the big Star Trek guy. It's cool. I get it.
And personally, I can see Luke being in exile because, I mean, if you look at his family history.
Yeah.
You have Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Which is like in your blood.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you are creating Kylo Ren, so.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like, I'm just, am I bad for it? That is this whole thing. It's like, yeah. The Jedi needs to end. This is a bad thing. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think it's cool. I like it. And there are people out there like us who enjoy The Last Jedi. All right, now let's talk about the side movies. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Did you see that one?
Yes, I did.
Like it? Dislike it?
I liked it. It was a little tough to follow at times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Granted, the first time I saw it was at Lou Gardens has their movies on the lawn, and I saw it there, and there were just a bunch of kids running around and people
eating. Not the ideal. Exactly. Yeah, sure.
I saw it again, liked it a lot better the second time.
Okay, when you could give more attention to it. Interesting, okay. And then, most recently, most infamously, Solo, A Star Wars Story.
And I have not seen that.
All right, there you go. Which falls right in line with the box office take. Did that movie ever cross $200 million?
I wonder.
Yeah, let's look that up, because I think when it came out opening weekend back in May and it tanked at like $30 million opening weekend, I said it would not make $200 million.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chris. 213.
Oh, barely. Oh.
213 domestic, 178 foreign, worldwide, 392.
Oof, magoof. That is not good. These movies don't travel so well internationally, especially in soon to be world's largest market, China. It pretty much bombed everything except for Force Awakens bombed over there. Force Awakens, I think, opens like $60 million, which is really good. But other than that, it's all been downhill for Star Wars in China, which doesn't bode well for the Obi-Wan movie they want to make, the Boba Fett movie they want to make, and I think there's rumblings about a Yoda movie.
Seriously, they could make all of these movies, but they shouldn't. The Obi-Wan movie that I want to see is just the Lone Samurai story in Star Wars world.
I think that's what they want to do. I think it's reported that they're just going to do like a Seven Samurai style. He's on Tatooine. He comes across a small group of people who need protection, and he protects them. Which is simple. I already talked about how the Boba Fett idea that I saw that I like.
If it's not that movie, I don't want to see it.
Like, I don't see how it couldn't be. This is the best idea.
It's the greatest idea of all time.
I saw someone tweet this. I'm like, this is genius. Someone goes to a scrapper, goes to the Sarlacc pit, and he finds the old Boba Fett armor. Or she, who knows. Someone finds the Boba Fett armor, puts it on, assumes the identity, and goes on like a Boba Fett adventure. But not as like, you know, new Boba Fett.
Yeah.
But people don't know. They just assume, oh, this is Boba Fett. Oh, you lived.
Yeah.
I saw you going to the Sarlacc pit. But then the special edition added that shot of him being like, fine. It's so stupid special. God, I love those movies, but man, George. Those movies don't travel so well. Mission Impossible, meanwhile, will make a decent bank worldwide. And what was it tied with, you said?
Alpha.
The
dog.
The proto pet.
Proto puppy.
Proto puppy. Yeah. What's a Rotten Tomatoes score?
It is bad. It is so bad.
Come on.
Oh, actually, whoa! Holy shit. 84%.
What, Drew? That's the Rotten Tomato officially certified fresh bell.
I mean, it's only 56. Only 56 reviews.
What's the consensus, though?
Well acted and beautifully filmed.
Huh.
Alpha offers a canine-assisted epic adventure that blends rousing action with an extra helping of canine charm.
Oh, maybe I will use my movie pass to go see this.
Apparently, it's not awful. All
right.
Wow.
All right. There you go.
Those previews did not look good at all.
No, I did actually see the trailer for it. It did look
beautiful, some of the shots.
It's easy.
But the storyline, I was like, nah, I'm not going
to. Yeah, exactly. Oh, great. A boy and his dog, right. In caveman days. It is easier these days to make something look good, especially with digital now. But man, that's shocking. Juju was all queued up for a 25% score.
No, that's why I just said, oh, it's garbage. Holy shit.
That's why we actually follow through on our assumptions there. Uh-huh. And we double check. Because we're all about accuracy here in Cinema
Crush. I try to be sometimes. For the most part.
On occasion. What's number four?
Number three.
What's number... Because they're tied?
Because they're tied.
I like how you did that.
Uh-huh. Number three this week, Mile 22, $13.6 million.
All right, now I know for a fact this has a terrible Rotten Tomato score because I was mildly interested in seeing it.
Oh, yeah. 20%.
Have you seen any of the marketing for this one?
I have not.
It's interesting where it's... I guess it is then reflecting the movie, it's like a kind of a brutal trailer. They're emphasizing the action and the hostility of the movie, the guns. It has one of the guys from the Raid movies, an Indonesian dude doing his crazy fighting.
It's got the chick from The Walking Dead.
It's got Ronda Rousey. So it's got a lot of...
Very interesting.
Yeah, the very specific thing that they're going for. But from what I read marketing-wise, critical consensus-wise, it is a slog of a movie. Like, not fun, and the action isn't even well shot. It's like one of this hyper-edited, what's going on in the scene, I can't even tell what's happening type of nonsense.
All the best parts are in the trailer.
Exactly, all the best parts are in the trailer. It's like the opposite of Mission Impossible, where it's like, oh, we want you to see that it's Tom Cruise doing all this action. In this movie, it's like, we want to hide the fact that Mark Wahlberg isn't really punching this dude. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's a Mark. Do we need more? Do we... Fan of Mark Wahlberg, yes or no?
I'm from Boston, so...
Oh,
Mark, get Mark, out of Mark, here!
Mark. Oh, it's fine. That's cool.
Marky Mark.
Marky Mark, you're from Boston.
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
You grew up in Boston?
I did.
When did you escape?
2008.
2008? Oh, wow. Okay, not bad. Oh, so you were there for 2004 for the Sox.
Yes.
Man, that was wild. They're down 3-1 against the Yankees. What, well, crazy wild shit.
Incredible.
I'm from New York, so I was like, but I'm a Mets fan.
He's a Mets fan.
So,
okay.
So yeah. I'm a perennial loser. Doesn't matter.
I made amends with many, many Mets fans.
Oh, yeah. 86. Oof. That's the only thing, Drew. 86 is the only thing because the Mets beat the Reds. It doesn't matter. No.
That's all you got.
I don't remember that year.
Yeah. Well,
a little foggy.
I was 4, so I technically don't remember it either. Okay, that's what were we talking about? Number 3?
That was number 3.
So number 2?
Number 2.
Let's move on.
The Meg.
We want something fun.
21.15 million.
We're talking about Boston. We got thrown off with the Boston.
Total 83.
Are Fenway Franks any good, or is it just a name? Is it like a Dodger dog?
The Fenway Franks, they used to be better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still the experience of having a Fenway Frank at Fenway Park. That
did you go off and...
It's a hot dog at a ballpark.
Yeah, but you know...
There's a mystique to Fenway Park.
Though. Yeah, Fenway isn't now the oldest still being used.
I believe so. Yes.
Right? Nothing. I've been all to the
Fenway.
Older ones.
I've been Fenway. I watched a game.
You have that over me. I actually been there, watch done baseball. That. I love baseball. I've never been to Fenway.
I went to Boston with my mom.
That's very cool. It is the oldest still operational park, so it's got the tiny, tiny seats and the poles. That, like, you, I bought this ticket. I'm sitting behind a pole. This is great.
I had Yanks fans that said that Fenway Park magical, especially since the new
Yankee
Stadium.
Yeah, because now, new Yankee Stadium.
I see it.
Oh my God,
time.
Traffic! Don't even.
The only time I see it is when I'm in a cab on my way to the airport.
Oh yeah,
from the airport from New York.
Yeah, shout out to Billy D. Anyway, that one. Welcome to Talking Baseball Stadiums with Chris and Drew and guest. This week's guest.
No, 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 Chris. No, no. You're talking baseball stadiums with Chris and him. I am your guest.
No, you're...
I don't know shit about baseball or stadiums.
That's the fun part about you being the co-host. That's like how Steve Etchie on State of the Beer Union is layman man. Because he's the layman and they have to explain all the beer stuff to him.
Exactly.
He's like BTUs? What was that?
Although, oddly enough, I did... get to watch Michael Jordan strike out 3 times behind home base.
There you go.
That's amazing. See, I haven't
seen
that.
That's a claim to fame right there. Yeah.
So already,
he's an awful baseball player.
As the non-baseball guy, he's already had better experiences baseball wise than I have. That's incredible.
See how fun. Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You have when the religious like to get all hotty toddy, I like to rub in the fact that I've been in Notre Dame Cathedral on Easter Sunday.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We did that.
And I don't even believe in God.
We did that.
I'm a Buddhist. So.
Yeah. Oh, do you? We were at. Did we go to any?
No,
no, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
No Buddhist things.
No.
Damn it! On that great Buddhist holiday that everyone celebrates every year. Yeah, Buddhist. Really, that's cool, man. I can appreciate
that. Raised Catholic, but.
Most people
so
were,
that makes sense.
Most people were raised Catholic.
The guilt has then shoved you into Buddhism.
Yeah, I was raised Catholic as well.
To cleanse yourself, that makes sense.
That's why I don't believe in God, period.
He went black nihilism, you went, we're all connected, let's be cool to each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like
it. The two ends of the spectrum.
Are you pro-Tibet?
I'm an Eastern Buddhist.
Are you pro Tibet or anti China?
Wait, you're a what? I don't know what that means.
Eastern Buddhist. So there's like over 10,000 different sects of Buddhism.
So what's
the main... Japanese base?
Oh no, shit!
And basically, it's kind of the most non-religious religion there is.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Well, okay. Well, Buddhism's more of a philosophy.
Right.
I mean, they do they do say that the Buddha attained enlightenment, but that's not, in their views, that's not necessarily like a godlike state. Like, you and I can attain enlightenment.
Right.
We just have to go through the path.
Exactly. There are many forms of Buddhism that do believe that Buddha was a deity.
Mm. Some of them don't,
this
though.
Form, Nichiren Buddhism believes that, yeah, Buddha was a teacher, just like Jesus was a teacher, Allah was a teacher.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
They found a way to be happy in their present life, and...
And you can, too, if you follow these three steps. As
and pay us $29.95.
Summarized by the great Dalai Lama, Tony Robbins himself. I've been to that seminar. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. No, that's super cool, man. I feel like we don't meet enough Buddhists these days. It's America. This is America.
It is America.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. It's America, Chris.
Very cool, man. I appreciate that. All right. I think we talked over what number two was.
The Meg.
The Meg. That's right. Yeah. Whatever.
Speaking of Buddhists, actually... Number one, Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh,
Weekend gross $25 million.
A very well-reviewed movie. Also not available on the goddamn MoviePass. Stupid MoviePass. What a hunk of shit
that is. It's the number one movie, Chris.
Yeah, I got it. I do want to see this one. I'm not a big rom-com fan, obviously.
Nope.
It's just not my thing. But if it's a good movie, it's a good movie. And it's like in the 90s, I think, with the Tamat score.
Tamat, 92, Certified Fresh.
Well, what's the... Oh, Certified Fresh. What's the... thanks for Rotten Tomatoes for the bell. What's the average rating, though?
7.7.
Okay. Yeah, high sevens. Okay. No, that sounds like a solid fun movie. Definitely got to have to check that one out. All right, there you go. That was your top five for the weekend.
Yeah, it's just an Asian rom-com, Chris. That's all it is.
Now, Drew, I noticed that the movie we saw wasn't anywhere on that list.
No, it was not.
So you're
wondering if it's even...
If it's even available.
I don't even think
distributed partially by MoviePass. Now, the irony of this is... When the movie starts up, it says MoviePass as like one of the distributors. But then when I put my MoviePass app, it's not available for me to use my that I pay good money for.
Well, that's because we saw it in an independent theater. I'm sure there aren't.
Enzian is on the list.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Enzian, they've been using MoviePass. They've been on the list for a minute.
But yeah, no. Oh, actually, number 42.
Ah, here we go. The number 42 movie of the weekend is.
American Animals made $6,978.
$6,900 this weekend?
Yep.
All right, about
for a total of $2.8 million.
All right, so 22 of that came from Drew and I.
Right, yep.
Just this weekend, right there. You can actually track that.
We can, yes. $22 of that came from
us. We're a sizable portion of that weekend audience.
It's only in five theaters
right
now.
It was actually only five theaters?
Five.
And one of them's the Enzian. It also came out on VOD this week.
It did. And it's been in, technically, it's been in theaters
for a while.
12 weeks
now.
Yeah,
for a while now. Slow burn, didn't really have a wide release. Crazy, it's only in five theaters and one of them's literally 2 minutes up the road.
Five.
That'll be the end.
It lost.
Oh, so cool.
It lost so five theaters,
and it lost
too.
Five. Boom, 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 boom. All right, we saw it, and actually, a pretty packed theater too.
It's quite good.
It was a full screening. We saw it was a good movie. American Animals, the story of. Now I avoided the trailers for this, so I don't know what is presented in the trailer or not. But
yeah, me neither.
But it's the story of some young. Dudes.
College kids trying to steal a $12 million book.
From a... I can't believe this is real.
Yeah.
So there's
just from a college library.
Not just a college library. In Kentucky. There's a college in Kentucky that has, like, first edition Darwins and all these, like, super rare books.
It was
that are
gifted to them by
expensive.
Audubon, I think, and Audubon was a Kentuckian.
Crazy. There are some famous Kentuckians out there. Like Johnny Depp.
Really?
Did not know he was in Kentuckian.
That's what him and Hunter S. Thompson bonded over initially. They're a shared Kentuckianisms, because Hunter S. Thompson's also Kentuckian. You know who else is from Kentucky? Michael Shannon.
Huh?
Yeah. So then when he says, the United States are fucking morons, and talks shit about middle America, he's like, I'm from there. So.
Yeah, so I know.
This isn't Coastalism stuff. I grew up there. I know what I'm talking about. I love Michael Shannon. He's great. All right, so American Animals, these guys, they want to rob this library, and... The main thing about this, it reminds me, Drew, of that Netflix series...
Wormwood?
Wormwood. It's that's an Errol Morris series. Mm-hmm. And do you know about it, actually?
I know about it. I've seen, like, one.
Yeah. I watched
the first two.
Yeah, I think I watched the first two. Peter Skarsgård, is it? And so it's telling a true story about the old MK Ultra stuff, the government dosing people on purpose just to see how they would react. Mm-hmm. But then it's... including with people doing real people giving an interview, it's like not they don't want to call it a recreation. I read an interview where it's like these aren't recreations. They're just scenes that we wrote that plays off what actually happened, but with actors, and it's shot well and it's presented like, you know, like a drama. So he calls it a docudrama, I think is what he calls Wormwood. Mm-hmm. And this movie is like a
just
docudrama.
Like that, yeah.
Because it has the actors playing these roles, and then it'll cut to someone sitting like a typical documentary setup, he's sitting
talking
like,
and like telling the story.
Yeah. But, and then at the bottom says the real the person's name.
Actually, one of my favorite parts was when both of them were telling the same story and it cut between the two versions. Because one of the guys was like, oh, I definitely told him when we were sitting in the car. And so it starts playing that scene, and then it cuts to the other guy and he's like, no. We were definitely
at a party.
At a party or something. So it cuts to that scene, and then as the scene goes, it keeps cutting between the two.
Yeah.
Like they're both happening at the same time.
Yeah.
It was really interesting.
There are a couple interesting things throughout the movie where it's like the two main dudes are telling the story, and then since their details are different, they play them out differently in the movie, portion.
And how did you guys enjoy that, basically, or did you not enjoy
it? It was cool.
I really enjoyed it. It was something new. I hadn't seen anything like that before. I'm
not,
always...
Not in a movie, not
I'm
in a
always
feature film.
In for innovative storytelling when it comes to movies.
And
it doesn't really matter what the subject may be. As long as it's done well, I'll probably end up watching it.
Right. And then it also, it's fun how, so when it started, it said, it pops up on screen, this is not a true story.
And then it erases out, this is a true story.
And that erases out the not part.
No, it says, this movie is not based on a true story.
Yeah.
And people are like, ha ha. And then it just erased this.
And then it erases the movie part. It says, this is a true story.
Yeah, this is a true story.
Yeah, and then people are like, oh, okay. And then that gives them leeway. And then with the dual narration and being open about we're not sure what the details are, then allows the movie to play with a way a story is told and play with the actual events. And then at the end, did BJ Gooch pop up at the end for the first time? Old BJ Gooch?
The second time. Actually, oddly enough, when they first introduced her actor character, there was a couple frames of her sitting at that table, like picking up a sip of a coffee.
Oh.
And then it went to her. But they never said anything about it.
Okay, yeah. So, little things on there like that. Yeah, and her name was BJ Gooch. I'm like, come on, this lady's great. I love
exactly.
her. She's awesome. It's fun. It's interesting. It's also. This is the thing I always got to bring to these type of movies. I thought it was very apparent to me as I was watching it, and I think it's apparent to the filmmakers as well. Because all right, so it's about these dudes, these white guys. One of them is a wild, reckless guy. He has a for real tattoo. What was his tattoo? A Tyrannosaurus Rex
reaching for a ceiling shower head.
No, a ceiling fan, but he can't
because he's got the tiny arms.
He has little arms. So. Yeah, it's a for real tattoo the guy has. He's the wild, reckless one, and then the other one is just the art student, good family, you know, affluent family. He has everything.
He was just looking for a change.
And he's bummed out because he's in his bubble and everything's just being given to him. And I'm almost positive there is dialogue as an homage, a sample, as a reference. It's Fight Club. It's disaffected white 20-somethings who are like, I need adversity in my life, and since it's not happening to me because I have all this privilege, I need to manufacture it by coming up with a heist. And that's what Fight Club is. Fight Club is a bunch of men who are like, oh, we don't have a Great Depression, we don't have any wars, this is all pre-9/11, so anyway, absolutely. We have nothing, so now we have to get together and beat each other up in basements just to feel again, right? You know, it's absurd, is what it is. You're not supposed to look up to that kind of stuff. This is a movie in which one of the two main dudes for sure watches Fight Club. It also takes place in 2003.
Yeah.
He was watching Fight Club and be like, yeah, Tyler Durden, he knows what's up.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
This guy knows what's up. And then the other guy identifies with Ed Norton. He's like, I need pain in my life.
Just the fact you're in the middle of Kentucky, the dude has a dark flannel on because it's the middle of winter, but underneath it, he's got a fucking Hawaiian shirt.
So cool. He's such a cool dude, man. He's iconoclast, bro. And so it does feel like it's, what happens when white privilege goes wrong? It's like, here's an example of it.
This is what happens when white kids get bored.
As a matter of fact, extending all the way to the point where not only do they get bored and they do all this bad shit, but then years later, oh, now we're going to make a fun movie about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to pay these guys for their story rights, and we're going to make a fun movie about it. That is the height of white privilege right there, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah.
So, American Animals, a.k.a. White Privilege movie. Good stuff.
It's a surprisingly fun story.
It was good. Yeah, it was good. It was well made. And what's his name? Evan Peters?
Yep, and Barry Keoghan.
from Dunkirk and The Killing of a Sacred Deer. Did you see that one?
I did not.
Whoa, buddy.
Killing of a Sacred Deer. Whoa, fucking weird ass remake.
What's the other one? The Lobster.
What, yeah, remake of a
Greek tragedy. It's a Greek tragedy. Yeah. How about The Lobster? Did you ever see that one?
I did not.
Same guy.
It's an interesting twofer. Yeah. A Greek director, Yorgos Lanthimos. What's that one he's got coming out about now? Some sort of like Victorian family.
That looks so fucking weird.
Right?
Yeah.
He makes
his name? Yorgos?
Yorgos Lanthimos. He makes weird, crazy movies that have their own, like, fun internal logic, you know? So it's
the favorite.
The favorite. So he makes movies that, like, don't. They're, it's like in our world, but not. It's recognizable, but not. It's a weird thing. It's, almost sci fi, but without actual sci fi happening.
Yep.
You gotta make that kind of dream logic leap. It's very cool. Very cool stuff. And it's interesting how he's developing a reputation. People like his movies, and he's getting to make more. And like they're coming out in theaters. Killing the Lobster and Killing of a Sacred Deer. We both saw that at Regals, you know. And they are they are fucked up movies.
The Favorite has like a lot of big people in it.
Well, run down that cast list. It's a great trailer. It looks like a startling movie. Like, what the hell are we? What is this? Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's got a Britney Spears.
All right. So we've got Emma Stone, mm-hmm. Olivia Colman, mm-hmm. Kate Winslet,
yes.
Abigail Marsham,
mm-hmm.
Rachel Weisz.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Love Rachel Weisz.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Weisz.
Yes.
Weisz.
Rachel Weisz.
Get whatever. It right.
Still. There we mm-hmm. go.
Great cast. Looking forward to that one. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right. So American Animals, we thought it was really good. Normally we say if you can see it in a theater, go see it. But apparently, unless you're in one of these five spots in America.
Yeah, sorry.
Which, fortunately, I am.
So. Yeah, you are, so you can take advantage of that. Shout out to our listeners in New York and L.A. I'm sure there's got to be a theater.
But it's also on VOD right now, so anybody can watch it.
That's
right.
It's
on the internet. Well.
That's very true. Does it benefit, you think, from being seen on a big screen?
Or
could it just be watched at home and enjoyed the same way?
I mean, some of the action scenes were...
Quote action. The more tense scenes.
So some of those scenes,
were
a little bit fun just because of the musical choice, and it was nice and loud.
Oh, that's true, that kind of presentation.
But other than that, I mean, if you've got a 55-inch in your living room, you're good to go.
All right, there you go. New movies come out on DVD this week. We have Action Point, that Johnny Knoxville retelling of the... Action Park in New Jersey. Have you heard tales of that place being in Boston? Did tales of that make its way up there?
Yes.
The all cement theme park.
All cement water park?
Terrible idea. That movie actually looked like fun, but then the reviews weren't that great. And it's not like Johnny Knoxville movies are always panned. All the Jackass movies are well reviewed for exactly what they are.
Well, so. It's because they know what they are.
And then I think also Bad Grandpa had decent reviews as well.
Well, because that kid was hilarious.
That kid was really funny. The dance scene at the end, I just remember that. Holy cow, it was actually pretty good. Actually, I like the idiot. I like Johnny Knoxville, god damn it. But anyway, the reviews were bad. Speaking of great reviews, God's Not Dead, A Light in Darkness. This is the third...
There's a light in the colon of darkness?
The light in the colon of darkness. This is the third in the God's Not Dead series. Wow. The surprisingly popular...
Wow.
Actually come out in theaters, Christian exploitation films.
I cannot believe they keep making these things.
The first one starred Kevin Sorbo. I think the second one starred Clarissa Explains It All. What's her name?
Oh, what's her face?
Melissa Joan Baez.
This is Joan Hart.
Nah, same thing. Show Dogs. Do you guys remember this story from a few months? No, like 6 months ago. Movie about dogs. Kids movie. Family movie. And like a dog cop has to like infiltrate the dog show circuit to find someone doing something illegal. And there was a whole scene about how he had to pretend to be a show dog. So someone was explaining, okay, now the judge is going to grab your jumblies and you have to just stand there and take it and go to your happy place and then you'll get through it. And then the movie came out in theaters and people were like, whoa, you're showing a movie to kids about being molested and just going to your happy place?
That's what we do to those poor dogs.
That's what happens to the dogs, yes. But these dogs are now being anthropomorphized. Oh boy, that's a tough one. They're being humanoid. And now little children. Anyway, so they had to like recall the movie, which is now just take it off of the server for download.
Mm-hmm.
And they cut that scene out and then put it back out. Will Arnett's in it. I think Ice-T is the voice of one of the dogs. Or Ice Cube. One of the Ices is in this
Probably
movie.
Not Ice-T. Ice-T's been on that he's been investigating rape crimes forever. He wouldn't stand for that.
Yeah, that's right. He wouldn't stand for it. But the stalker is getting raped.
Yeah.
So that movie's coming out. Hopefully, if you get on DVD, it's been included as an extra. As an extra scene. And a little movie called Deadpool 2 comes out. A little tiny successful movie.
I'm going to rip you in half now.
That's good stuff. did you get to see Deadpool 2?
I did not yet.
It's on your watch list. It's definitely worth it. It's definitely worth it. Did you know, Drew, that... now it's coming on DVD, I guess, spoilers ahoy, whatever. Did you know, Drew, Ryan Reynolds technically played Juggernaut?
Yes, I did know that.
Oh, okay, well then never mind. Here we go. What's coming out?
I was aware. He actually had, I think, like 3 acting credits in Deadpool. Because he was Juggernaut, he was Deadpool, and then he played Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, that's true. Technically correct. He does play Ryan Reynolds at one point.
So
that's very funny. So he gets 3 paychecks. All the paychecks.
Coming out in theaters, your homeboy Rami Malek.
Yes.
And that guy Charlie Hunnam that everybody loves.
Yes.
That I don't give a two shits about.
He's a handsome white man, Drew.
They're prisoners in a movie called Papillon.
Oh, I think this is a remake of Papillon.
So the remake of Papillon comes out
them. Okay, it's probably not going to do well.
No.
I'm surprised it's even come out in theaters at all, because it definitely seems like a direct-to-video type of thing.
It is definitely coming out in theaters, apparently.
I do like Rami Malek. He's really good. He's going to blow up now with Freddie Mercury here.
Yeah, he's going to slaughter it.
Yeah.
Heard mixed reviews about that,
though. Oh, really?
Yes.
That's already interesting. It's coming out soon, isn't it?
I think. It's this fall, I know that.
Yes, yes. So within a couple months, I think. I don't think we have to wait that long for it. They did have to fire their director very publicly. Bryan Singer had a falling out while the movie was being made. Other people had to step up. Apparently, they fired him because he was already a problem anyway during the making of it. So him and Rami Malek butted heads a whole bunch of times. So we'll see. I want it to be good.
Right.
I love Queen.
I'm going to go see it, whether it's...
Exactly. That's a case of no matter what the reviews are, I'm going to see it. Here is where there could be potential. I always thought this could be potential for where the movie could go bad. The fact that the surviving members of Queen, led by Brian May, are producing the movie. And they've been trying to get this movie made for years. And a big problem with trying to get it made is that a lot of people are like, all right, here's the real story of Queen. And Queen's like, we don't want you to tell the real story. We want you to tell our story.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, this is the good stuff, though. And they're like, no, we want you to do, we will rock you. And then cut to black. And then we collect all the paychecks. So we'll see if they gave in on any of that stuff or how real, quote, real it gets,
Right.
Or is the movie just like, the making of Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah, exactly. Which, it could still be fun. It'll still be a fun, fine movie. But will it be lasting? Will touch the hearts of people and change them forever in ways unforetold? All right, what else is coming out?
Also coming out this weekend. This weekend, we had Cave Boy and Proto Dog.
Yes. Which apparently is a good movie. Apparently it's good.
This weekend, we have Future Boy and Robot Dog in A.X.L.
Axel, A.X.L. Yeah, it's hysterical. The very next week, it's man, if this one's good too, I'm going to flip my top. That's going to be wild.
And then there's some strange-ass sex murder puppet movie called The Happy Time Murders.
I've managed to avoid all the marketing for this. Have you seen any of the...
I have not.
It's a comedy.
The only thing that I've seen and that makes me really want to watch the movie is there's a puppet that's hooked on sugar.
That's funny.
Like straight up crackhead style.
That's funny.
On sugar.
Made by, we talked about this last week, Brian Henson, right?
Yeah, Henson.
The new head, the most recent head of Henson Productions. They're behind
Son
this
of
movie.
Jim.
Son of Jim. This is their new world, their new creation. They've always liked to dabble in the dark with the labyrinth and the dark crystal and stuff. So here's their version of Meet the Feebles, I guess, but with murder. You ever see Meet the Feebles?
I did not.
Oh my God. This one is from the mid-90s. It's Peter Jackson. I think it's the movie he did right before The Frighteners.
Mm-hmm.
No. Maybe it's Meet the Feebles, Dead Alive, and then The Frighteners. So it's still a movie or two before he went mainstream,
right?
Pretty much. And it is it's a fucked up puppet movie.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, Meet the Feebles. It's like, what if the Muppet Show, this is a production, they do a show called The Feebles, but what if then we cut to backstage.
And they're like real humans.
And they're real people where they're cursing and smoking, and they're fucking each other, and getting into arguments, and it's, the only thing is that you have to get through all the Kiwi accent, that thick New Zealand. Yep. Oh, I, like, what the... put the subtitles on there real quick. But it's fun. It's a cool, and it's fun seeing pre big budget Peter Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
when he was still scraping things together and making things happen,
scraping
as opposed
things together
to
for
I have way to
right.
make me minus Turith
$750,000 to make the movie.
It's ridiculous.
That's a lot of fucking money.
$750,000. Isn't it funny how $750,000 would change my life? Change my life
forever.
If I needed to make a movie, though, and you gave me $750,000, I'd be like, "Why don't you just hand me a quarter and tell me about my day? $750,000, a pittance. This is nothing. You know, that's yeah. nothing in making movies. It's incredible how expensive that shit gets. That's why I like doing things on cheap. Robert Rodriguez made Mariachi for $7,000. That's crazy, and he raised that money by putting himself through drug trials.
And I say, I mean, give me the next Robert Rodriguez, I'll throw him $7,000, make me a movie.
Oh, there you go. Nice to meet you, Drew. How are you doing?
You are not the next Robert Rodriguez, Chris.
You son of a bitch.
You can't even properly finish a script.
No, that's not true.
Finish?
Yeah.
Finish.
I have like 7.
They're finished.
You
like you're done working on them.
Like, yes. That's like, beautiful. You never finish a script, you abandon it. I have about 7 like abandoned that scripts that are they're complete
they
stories.
Dr. Manhattan.
Just abandoned.
And completely abandoned stories.
Just know more about sex.
Doc Hollywood.
Yeah, give me 7,000 to make my Samson screenplay. The Vengeance of Samson, come on.
I mean, your idea for the Samson movie is so much better. I wish I had the budget to give you and Bill to make
our Mogwai movie.
So, Drew Sakai,
we wrote a Mogwai movie.
Let's start crowdfunding.
All right, Dr. Drew, 2 cents.
Let's start crowdfunding for Chris and Bill's Mogwai movie. Cogburn out.
All right, there we go.
Seriously, these fuckers have one of the greatest ideas for a Gremlin prequel that I have ever. I didn't even know I wanted a Gremlin prequel until I heard this story. And I'm like, holy shit, this is amazing.
We wrote a 180-page screenplay with like 7 revisions. So we were serious about it for some reason. So we wrote a 3-hour R-rated set in Japan, so mostly Japanese speaking with subtitles, Gremlins prequel. And then we were like, yeah, Warner Brothers will buy this. Chris Columbus will love this. He'll buy this. Man, it was good.
It's good. So good.
The third act is a World War II horror film about gremlins being attached to kamikaze planes and smashing into U.S. boats, cruisers, and then the gremlins hit the water, they multiply, and they climb up out of the water onto the cruiser, and then they destroy the boat, and the boat sinks.
That is genius.
Isn't that a great idea?
That's what I'm talking about!
It only takes...
Give this man $200 million!
It only takes a willingness to take American or human tragedies like kamikaze warfare and turn it into our big budget R-rated entertainment. Yeah. And I'm fine with that.
Cool with that, too.
Look, it's a simulation. None of this matters. It's all ones and zeros, so it's all good. I mean, I would like to just do the second half of the show for you shooting. Speaking of the second half of the show,
none of it matters, Chris.
That's true. Nothing does matter. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Drew is going to smoke a cigarette because that's gross. And then I'm going to save this, get another beer, and then we are going to start the second half of the show. Are you guys ready?
Ish.
Thanks, Drew.
This letter said it's time for my movie review of my movie. The movie I'm reviewing today is Mission Impossible 6 / Fallout. Alright, Bradrick Prottery just moved to a small town in the northeast called Timberbrook. It's Christmas time and he moves there to be with his mother and father, Cicely and Tyson. When he arrives at the house, everything is perfect. The tree is in the corner, lights, gifts under the tree. Mother has made some pumpkin pie, and Dad is smoking his pipe his smokeless pipe inside. Bradley says, I thought you quit smoking. And Tyson says, no, I love it. And your mother has cancer because of it. Bradley says, so you're the reason she has cancer? And his mother says, please, the both of you, do not argue. It's Christmas time. And Bradley says, okay, I got to go out and go to the bar. He goes to the bar called the Orange Cantaloupe. And he walks in and takes a seat right next to three white women. And they turn around and find him very sexy, please. And they say, can we buy you a drink? And he says, yes, I will take a Shirley Temple. And they say, you queer. You ain't nothing but a queer. And then these four men carrying ropes in the corner who was originally playing pinball, but their attentions have turned to other activities, walk to the homosexual and the three white women. They say, did we hear there was a butt licker up in here? And he said, you're the only person licking butts is you. And cut to the dramatic ending of the film with the body of the homosexual swinging back and forth from a Christmas tree. This has been Letter Rap Says. Stick with your movie review, please.
Welcome to the Quest of
Hell. Eddie-o, how's it going? We are back.
Episode 293 of Cinema Crest Miso. Is this what we're doing right now? Drew Zagogren, how are you doing? Off that internet.
I'm doing.
You are off those internets.
I mean, yeah.
You did it. Congratulations. I'm Lisa Dottis.
I'm only on two places on the internet now.
And they're both owned by the same company.
Yeah, they're both on my Facebook. Yeah, so, and in all reality, if I wasn't on this podcast, I probably wouldn't even have those.
And you know what? Me neither.
So... Yeah.
Me neither. All right, so Antihero,
fuck the internet.
Antihero 419 on a couple of places on the internet. Very exclusive.
I mean, I'm also on Xbox Live, but chances...
What are you playing, though? Are you playing anything multiplayer?
I don't play multiplayer games.
So then, what's the point?
So fuck you, assholes.
People can message you,
They can't message me shit.
They can't even message you death threats?
I mean, they could if they wanted to, but it's not like I'm gonna read them.
So... If you want to send your unread death threats to anyone, send them to Drew Sakagra at AntiHero419 on Xbox Live?
I think that's what it's called. I don't even know. I haven't turned on my Xbox in about a week and a half.
In a week and a half? Ooh, well, I guess for you, that's actually quite a long time. Yeah.
It's like, I mean, you know the way I can get with games sometimes, Chris.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very, very true.
I'm biding my time until...
Bide your time, young man.
Red Dead... 2 comes out.
Bide your time, sandwich.
Have you guys seen video games at all? Like, at all, period. Like,
I mean, I think the last...
Are you into video games?
The last game I played to completion was Red Dead.
Okay, Chris...
Did you play any of the GTS Red Dead, any of those Rockstar games?
I did not.
Okay.
If you specifically, I know you're not really into video games, even though you kind of play sometimes.
Sometimes I do. I mean, I grew up playing them, so...
Just look at the gameplay footage, the gameplay trailer
that they
put out for the new Red Dead.
I'm sure it's crazy. But then I'd have to buy a system. I don't even have a system right now.
Chris,
it's been years since I've been without one, but I've been without one for a minute and I haven't missed it.
Chris, here's the thing. If you watch the trailer and like it so much that you want to buy the game and you need a system for it, buy it for the PS4. You can borrow my PS4.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because I don't use it.
You're so rich over here talking about... first world problems and caviar nightmares. Yes. This guy,
I have two video game systems, one of which I do not use.
All right, I'll borrow your PlayStation.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. Yeah, well, then I'll probably buy that game then. Now it becomes a matter of finding time to play the game. All right, Antihero 419. People follow him on.
You gotta watch that trailer,
on Instagram.
Though, Chris.
I will. I'll check it out.
Oh my god.
I will. I'll check it out. Cinema Crespity So is the Facebook group as well as the Instagram title. On Twitter, we are just at Crespo Diso because the whole thing didn't fit exactly one letter too long. Thank you, Twitter. And email the show, cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. Chris Majoka.
Yes.
A fun name to say. Majoka. What is that?
I have a tattooed on my back, actually.
No, you don't. Do you really?
Yeah.
What's the ethnicity?
I kind of regret it now, but...
A younger decision? Young man's decision? How big is it? Big? Or is it small?
Oh, it's shoulder to shoulder.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah.
That could be a bad decision. I was thinking maybe just one shoulder blade, but you're
nope.
Everyone, all eyes on me over here, this guy.
What is a? Can I ask? Was a Majoka? It's an interesting name. What's
it that? It's Polish, 100%.
Oh, wow, cool. Really
interesting. Yeah, no ski at the end.
Right, that's the stereotypical. Yeah. That's where I'm trying to think of. Okay, yeah.
I'd say my mom's last name was 100% Polish. Magalski.
Magalski. There you go. Yep. Do you think it's a case of, I mean, now I'm asking family history, a case of like Ellis Island? They're like, let's just drop that. And
that's actually a really good question. My mother's maiden name, I can track back. It's Jezik.
Okay.
You can track that back, all kinds of family history. Mm-hmm. My father's side, which is where my last name comes from, Majoka.
Yeah.
Have not found a whole lot.
Interesting. Wow.
And my great-grandmother did come over from Ellis Island, so...
Ellis Island, so maybe there you go. There may be something got crossed over there.
Got Americanized.
They were so just like willy-nilly, we are changing this to our white Anglo names to what we are comfortable with.
What's your name?
You bunch of weirdos.
What's your name? Okay, John Smith.
John Smith. Like, Andrew, you listed 22 John Smiths. Like, they'll be fine. You can never go wrong with John Smith. It's a strong name.
It's just hard to find somebody that's actually named John Smith.
Yeah, well, I know John Smith. Yeah, he actually knows someone.
I know John Smith.
Chris Majoka, great name. I love the name. All right, let's talk about first United Arts of Central Florida.
Yes.
You're the marketing head there. I've been there for a few years now, right?
Correct.
Just
over 3 years.
And what's going on over there? What are you promoting?
So United Arts of Central Florida is basically the region's arts fund, mm-hmm. The only arts fund in Central Florida.
Oh, wow.
And essentially we help support more than 60 local arts and cultural organizations through funding mm-hmm. and grant support and just helping connect them to other programs and corporations.
And what types of artists are? I mean, I'm assuming the whole spectrum: singers, painters.
Dancers. So it's mainly nonprofit organizations.
Okay.
But it's anything art, science, and history organizations. Mm-hmm. So we have little mom and pop theaters and events, all the way up to the Orlando Museum of Art, yes. Orlando Science Center, Orlando Ballet, Philharmonic, cool. etc.
What's that one? The NZN. Love the NZN nonprofit. What's the one that Boris works at? The Temecula?
Timakua, yes.
Timakua. Oh my God, Boris, please. I'm so sorry. I apologize.
He's
Boris.
Not listening.
Boris, are you listening? Email us. Cinema Green. No, he's not going to email us.
They have applied for and have received grants.
They have, okay, yeah, because they're nonprofit and they put on concerts and stuff and live
exhibitions. Great little place.
Yeah, yeah, very cool sounding place. Cool. So you connect with the nonprofit organizations to help them put on, I guess, events and exhibitions and help them realize their individual artistic dreams.
Right, and then just helping to promote all that there is for arts and culture in Central Florida to residents and tourists alike.
So. And for, people all over listen to our show. Shout outs to our English listeners in Wolverhampton and Shropshire. Seriously, those are places that people are listening. It's pretty cool. But a lot of our listeners are local yokels. So if they are interested in either working with the foundation or getting in touch or trying to get grant money, how can they do that?
Are you sure that's not just Ron on his London adventure listening?
No, these studies have been popping up for a minute now.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We may now get like an extra download or two from London thanks to Ron. Shout out to Ron. We love Ron. Yeah, where can people like find out more about this particular
group? UnitedArts.cc is the website. Mm-hmm. We also manage in the arts, culture, and entertainment events website called OrlandoAtPlay.com.
Okay.
And that's basically where you can go to, if you have family in town, you're just looking for something to do on a weekday or weekend, go look there, and it's pretty much everything that's happening from arts and culture organizations here.
That's very cool. I'm going to have to actually check that out. It's hard sometimes. You got to go to different, like Orlando Weekly, to look at their calendar, and then they're sent on their calendar, but people are paying to like get advertised.
Exactly.
You don't get to see the full picture.
Yeah, there's no paid listings on Orlando.
Nice. Awesome. That's very cool. Okay. Now tell me about you do you, and I'm and those are the letters. The letter U, do, and then the letter U. You do you. Tell us about that.
So You Do You is basically my brand new cause-based documentary film production company. Mm-hmm. Just launched the official business in February, and essentially that all came from what happened with the hurricanes that hit in 2017. Hurricane Irma that obviously hit Central Florida hard.
Yeah, really hard.
But as far as the island of Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. Hurricane Irma and Maria mm-hmm. Were both very devastating. And fortunately, actually, through my job at United Arts of Central Florida, one of the things we've done in the past 3+ years is try to diversify the arts and cultural community.
Very cool.
It honestly started off where we did a little assessment, and the only people that were going to the shows were the older, upper class,
and
the old white ladies.
Yeah, the old whites. Yeah, sure. I mean, that's the way it is. It's just unfortunately the way it is, because it's been the gatekeepers have made it that way for a long time. Yeah,
and the city of Orlando in Central Florida is far more diverse than how it was being represented in the arts community.
Yes.
So we've made a lot of relationships with different ethnic and cultural communities here in Central Florida, and through that I've just made a lot of connections within the Hispanic and Latinx communities, a lot of Puerto Rican organizations and friends and programs. And once those hurricanes hit in 2017, I started. Last year, I was I'm mainly on LinkedIn. It's kind of my main social media channel of preference for professional use.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And I was writing articles last year about how nonprofit organizations can become more diverse and inclusive. How can it enhance their bottom line, etc. And after the hurricanes, I wrote a few articles about what happened in Puerto Rico and how Central Florida can actually connect with and benefit from communicating and interacting with the Puerto Rican migrants who are coming over as a result of the hurricane.
Right.
Started noticing quite a few, I would say, ignorant or naive comments. You know, why are we letting these immigrants into our communities? Why are we helping them?
Screw these people. Let them live on their island. These non-Americans.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And Puerto Ricans are not immigrants.
Correct.
No. Yeah. They are Americans.
Full Americans. Yeah. I think World War One.
I think the only.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that they are not able to do if they are a resident on the island of Puerto Rico is vote for the presidential election.
Correct. They have almost like a mock election day of, like, this is who you would have voted for.
Right.
But yeah, they don't count that, which I'm surprised they don't, because it actually skews Republican.
It does, so, for the most part.
Yeah, they might as well just...
odd.
Yeah, but they're like, nope, we don't trust them Browns. We don't trust them. Racism's killing me on the inside.
And basically, I just started, I had a number of friends that I was just talking to and asking them how their family was doing, and a lot of them were not able to get in contact with their family for a number of days.
For some people, it took a month or 2 months. I know people who, like cousins and stuff up in New York, who they were trying, I follow on Facebook, like, oh, I can't even get in touch with my aunt or my uncle for a long, long time. It was crazy.
Exactly. Like,
yeah. Still is not great. Still
and
is not
good. Basically, that's kind of where, once I started seeing Central Floridians' reactions of some of the more, again, uneducated or just not knowing the facts. I kind of was like, wow, there's a big disconnect here of what people actually view these people as or view Puerto Ricans as and what the actual case is. And not to get political, but I know there is a...
Please do. That's what we do.
A... somewhat national rhetoric right now of where people are kind of afraid of what's different from them or what they don't know.
Absolutely, yeah.
And if you speak a different language or look different or have a different, cultural upbringing.
If you don't fit what has been the norm, which is cisgendered, white, heteronormative, like if you don't fit that, then you're an other.
Exactly.
And the more other you are, the harder it is. That's why I say shout outs to our black female listeners. We love y'all. You're the best. Because they get it. That's so hard. Oh my God. They get it so hard. That's so by connecting with the communities, then you get even more, like, you're hearing stories about it. You're not just getting through the news. You're hearing people that you know. Like, I'm struggling with getting in touch with people on this island and
there's,
stuff like that.
I mean, there's stories that are... I knew people that had, their families were stuck in, especially in the mountainous, central mountainous regions of Puerto Rico that just had no access, that literally the neighbors were gathering up their pets and having to,
this is how we're going to have to get by.
Exactly.
What a bummer. Isn't that sad? Because it is a lot of rural, much of the island is just jungle, it's El Yunque, it's a rainforest.
Exactly.
And people are living in there, and then when a hurricane comes through and screws everything up, how do they get aid? How do they get anything when they're
right,
out
and that
there?
Whole, their electrical grid and stuff was...
It was already...
Shoddy at best beforehand.
It was already terrible and mismanaged, and now it's a wreck. And Elon Musk was like, oh, we'll do something. I don't know if that ever came through or what.
I haven't seen anything yet.
He moved on to the...
He's a pretty busy guy in Central Florida. What is this actually going to mean for our community?
Right.
And are people going to use this in a positive way, or are they going to be, the others and This Is Us and...
The changing demographic of our cities and our towns. Are they going to reject the... right, exactly.
So I just had the idea to create a documentary that would help explore what it means for Central Florida to now have hundreds of thousands of Puerto Ricans here, mm-hmm. and what this means from for our community from all perspectives,
sure.
moving forward, and where are we going to be, you know, 5-10 years from now as a result of this. Cool.
Has this been made already, or...
So, production starts next month, so in September.
Exciting!
Exactly, yes. And I will say, and you guys may have noticed this based on my reactions to the films I have not seen.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm a filmmaker yet, I'm filmmaking.
No, hey, you're doing it, though. Exactly. Even the pre-production is filmmaking.
Yeah. And my background is audio, so I'm a certified audio engineer and went to Full Sail and
Commander. Oh, I apologize if you listen back to this for the audio quality of all this. I'm a film critic with a soundboard. So that's a different thing
altogether. I've been in marketing for the last 10 years or so.
Yeah. Also, you know,
moonlighting as an audio engineer.
There we go. You know what's going on. That's amazing. Next month. So then you have a timetable for completion? What are you looking at here?
Yeah, so there's actually a couple of parts to this. So September is interviews. Mm-hmm. October is B-roll.
Okay.
November is post.
Yep.
Then we're going to have, based off that, we're going to have a 20 to 30 minute short film.
Okay.
That will be shopped around to the different film festivals, mm-hmm. Around the country and internationally. And while that's being shopped around to the film festivals, we're going to finish it as a 1-hour documentary.
Nice.
Which, nothing confirmed yet, but in very good relations right now with the local WUCF-TV PBS station.
Very cool.
And they are actually interested in possibly for next year, the second anniversary of the hurricanes.
Okay.
Shopping this around to screen it around the different Central Florida counties and double those screenings as more like town hall style meetings.
Smart.
And basically watch
this, talk about it, have
exactly.
fun.
Yeah. Oh man, that's amazing.
And that may lead into a possible docuseries, but that is down the road.
Yes, obviously there is like the goal, right? To keep growing, and you have that end goal, but you got to start somewhere.
But yeah, that short film is going to be done in end of November, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. starting to be shopped around, and then the 1-hour feature film will be available next year.
You're definitely going to have to let us know when the screenings start happening, so then we can make a point of promoting it and going, because that sounds amazing.
Would I be happy to have you?
That is very cool. You Do You, where can people look that up online?
So You Do You right now, the website is unfortunately under construction.
Yeah, sure. Most websites are, you know.
But it will be youdoyou.tv.
Okay.
So I already have the domain name secured, so don't try and steal it from me.
That's why you put it out there. Right. I didn't have to bleep that. Yeah, sure. We have some unscrupulous listeners out here. Oh, Drew's double checking to make sure he can buy it. Drew will sit on that for $20,000. Man, he's a jerk.
But otherwise have the description available on LinkedIn, and very soon, as we're going through the filming process, mm-hmm. Starting next month, I'm going to have the website up and start already featuring some of that behind-the-scenes content and, you know, little mini clips of interviews and things like that.
Super exciting. Very, very... That's very cool, man. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
On achieving and on coming up with this idea and following through. It's very exciting. Looking forward to hearing more about it down the road.
Yeah, appreciate it.
For real. Okay. So that sound effect went off. So here we go, Drew. We're going to have to do this. It is time for Drewcy Cogburn versus the world. Drew.
Chris.
You are 20-11.
I am.
You you lost last week to Josh.
I did.
Josh Pinkman Fowler. Josh the Pink Man Fowler.
Yes.
Which means, Chris, you get to go first in this week's game, which is called Star-Crossed Lovers. It's a different game every week. Star-Crossed Lovers. I am going to name two actors, actor, actress, whatever. Name two people who are in a movie. They played a couple in a movie. You name the movie.
Okay.
And for some of these, there may be like multiple answers. So I'll, you know, if you get one of them, I'll accept it.
Sounds good.
All right. So I have two groups of five, A or B. Chris, what do you want? Group A or Group B? Choose wisely.
I will go with A.
Okay. Group A. Name the movie featuring as a couple Al Pacino and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh my goodness. I should know this. I love Al Pacino.
Mm. Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer's not bad either.
Michelle Pfeiffer, she's pretty good too. She's pretty good.
No, took me a second.
Took you a second? Oh, you got it though. Okay. Al Pacino and Michelle Pfeiffer.
I forgot she was in that movie.
Ah. Are you giving things away here?
And I'm just going to throw it out. It's not one of the Godfather movies, right?
Yeah, go ahead and throw one out. I mean, if you know Scarface movies, throw one out there. What did I say? Did I just say it?
Oh, yeah.
I just said it.
You did. Can I go Scarface?
you can go ahead and say it. I'm sorry, that's my bad.
One of the Scarface movies, eh, Chris?
We were passing. You said the Godfather movies. That's what threw me off. We were passing around those pens during a break. Those pens are good stuff there. Name the movie. Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes.
Is it still
me? It's still you, yes. Oh. I'm sorry. You're going to do five in a row. I apologize. I did not explain fully. You're going to do five in a row. Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes. What movie were they a
Titanic.
Couple
in?
That is incorrect.
That was Kate Winslet.
That was Kate Winslet.
Romeo plus Juliet.
Actually, ooh. It's William Shakespeare's Romeo plus Juliet. Name the movie in which a couple is played by Brad Pitt and Helena Bonham Carter.
Jeez. Helena Bonham Carter. I'm not sure I know.
Oh, no. Even Drew has a face like, what?
I know who she is. I'm just trying to think
but
of
you can't even think
fucking
of the
movie.
Wow. I might be at a loss for this
oh,
one.
Oh, no. Yeah. You want to take a guess? Random Scarface movie? You just want to... Oh, did I say it again, Scarface?
No. I don't know. No idea what it could be.
Drew's got no idea.
Fight Club.
That is correct. Wow. Yes.
You're fucking right. That is correct. Holy shit, you are right.
HBC plays Marla Singer.
Yeah, you're
yes,
right.
There you go. Well done. Number four, Linda Hamilton and Michael Biehn.
Is that his name?
I think I'm going to have to bow out of this one.
Oh, no. All right. That would be true. Do you know?
Terminator.
That's a Terminator. Ooh. And finally... Oof, this is a hard one. The last one's always the hardest one. Josh Brolin and Richard Jenkins. What movie did they play a couple? Yeah, this is a hard one. Josh Brolin and Richard Jenkins. The great Richard Jenkins. Love him.
I'm going to throw out...
Nothing. Yep, throw
one Broke out there. Back Mountain.
Oh, so close. Flirting with Disaster. The Ben Stiller, David O. Russell movie, Flirting with Disaster. They played FBI agents who were also a couple. Okay, so including my screw-up, you got 2 out of 5. Drusa Cogburn, here we go. Got you ready? Number one, name of the movie. Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson.
That's those fucking Twilight bullshit.
That's those Twilight bullshits. I'll accept that as an answer. Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston.
The Bodyguard.
That is correct. Yeah. Robin Williams and Nathan Lane.
The Birdcage.
That's correct. George Clooney and Elle McPherson.
It had to have been early in George Clooney's career.
Say it. Say it.
I don't even...
Say it.
I don't know.
Nope. Nothing. Oh, I thought you were going to say it. I thought you were saying, no, it can't be. It can't be.
No.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Batman and Robin.
Oh, she was the female lead in that awful movie?
Yeah.
God.
Finally, Gina Gershon and Jennifer Tilly. Drew's head and hands thinking so hard. He wants to get it so bad. You can do it.
Well, because I've seen the movie, I just don't remember the name of it.
You don't remember the name of it?
Nope.
Oh. The Wachowski's first movie. Bound. Great movie. But there you go, Drew. 3 out of 5. Makes you the winner. Well done, sir.
I would have been 2 out of 5 in either of those categories.
In either one?
Yep.
Right, there you go. So then it wouldn't have mattered. Okay, there you go. There you go. Good stuff. All right, people. Keep an eye out for You Do You as it blows up down the road. And we're going to talk about his short film as it airs. We're looking forward to those screenings on the road. And as well as the United Arts of Central Florida. Was that unitedarts.cc?
That's correct.
There you go. All right, guys. Let us get started now with this is the segment of the people. They email us cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, and then we read the emails on this show in the Vox Populi.
Because it's Cinema Crespediso, and that's where they email.
Vox Populi.
You said cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, and then we read them here
at Cinema Crespediso.
On Cinema Crespediso.
On Cinema Crespediso. Yeah, very good job, Drew. Okay, please read the email. Thanks, sir. You don't mind.
We got a Black Klansman and Meg reviews from Scott.
What's up, Scott? Let's hear about it.
Black Klansman. Mm-hmm. This story is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
Even though I know that it actually happened, I still kind of don't believe that it really happened. Washington and Driver were both great. I hate to say it, but I think Driver had the better performance with the meteor role. His undercover scenes with the Klan were intense as fuck, and Washington's phone calls with the Klan, especially with David Duke, were played more for comedy than drama. It was Driver's scenes that really made the hairs on my neck stand up. Though not a Spike Lee joint, you can definitely see Lee's fingerprints on certain moments. The Kwame Ture speech, how he filmed the faces of people listening to the audience was particularly moving. Corey Hawkins was really good in that cameo role. I liked how Lee juxtaposed the two white power and black power meetings, going back and forth from David Duke spewing hatred to rile up the Klan, to Jerome Turner softly telling the horrible story of violence to a group of college students. But damn, can we talk about the 5-minute dance sequence in that nightclub? I really don't think it was necessary to show people dancing for that long just to establish romantic chemistry or even a vibe. But I do love that song, and so I kind of let it pass.
I don't remember a 5-minute dance sequence.
And of course, the present day footage Lee tacked on at the end of the movie was really a twist the knife and make us feel it. Perfect. Yeah. Amazing movie, a must see. 3.5 stars.
All right, he enjoyed Black Klansman's Spike Lee joint. I do have to disagree with him saying that he doesn't feel like it is a Spike Lee joint. I feel like it was pretty thoroughly, very Spike Lee. Yeah. That's just my opinion. Who am I? I'm a guy who has a podcast.
We got a Meg review.
The Meg, yes, okay. I want to hear about this.
Technically, Scott has a podcast too, because I read his emails almost every week.
Sure, yeah. It's Scott's podcast within a podcast. When we cancel Cinema Crespo Diso, then you can pick up your own show, Scott's emails. And then you just send emails to yourself and then read them.
See how you like it.
We love you, Scott. All right, let's see what he has to say about the Meg.
The story is also fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just not in a good way.
Oh.
If the Meg has ever truly committed to exactly what kind of movie it wanted to be, it might have had a chance of being something decent, maybe good, maybe even great. But it never makes that choice. It spreads its fingers wide as possible, trying to hit all the notes, but inevitably fails to strike a chord with any of them. Better written dialogue could have made this a much more dramatic film. A lot more blood could have made this a proper action horror movie. That would have been my take. Even the farcical comedy bits are either hackneyed or half-assed. If only there was a fortune cookie that the Chinese billionaires could have read, when you try to please everyone, you end up pleasing no one. And it takes forever for the Meg to get to the beach, which, let's face it, isn't that what we're all looking forward to seeing?
Yeah.
As dumb as Sharknado is, at least it made a choice, and it's a better movie than the Meg.
Wow.
One star.
Wow, all right, first off, is that our first Meg review on the show, I think?
I think so.
I think it is. Thank you, Scott. We appreciate you taking the bullet for us. Because we didn't see that it's funny he mentioned Sharknado, and how Sharknado, like...
They chose.
Yeah, they commit. So they're making a choice, they're making their movie, and they're going for it, as opposed to the Meg, which got re-edited and cut down, and then they're going to have an unrated cut on DVD, all this nonsense, right? This week on Sci-Fi Channel, they debuted Nightmare Shark.
What?
Yes. It is essentially a Nightmare on Elm Street parody shark movie. Shark. So
the shark invasion dream?
Survivors of a shark attack in the dreamscape dream of like a shark that comes after them, and then for some reason they levitate, and then there's like a hologram glowing like half dead evil shark hovering over them. I think at some point it does, some lady tries to like stab it and ends up biting her and killing her. I only saw like 30 minutes of it, but I did watch it, some of it though, and they recreate the Nightmare on Elm Street scene where like Freddy comes up, his hand comes up out of the tub.
Yeah,
they do that where a girl is in the tub taking a bath, and the shark fin comes up out of
that's
the water.
That's great.
It's very...
They know what they're doing!
Very corny, very cheesy, but very fun. And, I watched a little bit. I enjoyed it. It's like Nightmare Shark. This is stupid. I get it. As opposed to the Meg, where, it seems like they took themselves too seriously. Anyway.
Even though they cast Jason Statham, so, I mean...
They should have had fun with it. And Cliff Curtis.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott. We appreciate that. That's it for the Vox Populi.
Yes, sir.
All right, now let's talk to Billy D. Did I save that one? Yeah, I did save
it. Whoa, this is heavy.
That's close.
There's that word again. Heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Ow! You metal, dude! We're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, time for Billy D's Death of the Movies. Billy D is our New York City senior correspondent and horror film aficionado, and we thank him for his emails every week. Like this one, Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
I had a pretty dope week. caught a pop punk show, and did the final cleanup at Fort Awesome in Bushwick. R.I.P. Fort Awesome. And caught a pop. I like how he didn't name drop what pop punk show he said. Because, normally he name drops.
Because he's embarrassed by it.
He is. So I got a game. Let's guess what Bill saw.
Bill went and saw against me.
I'm going Sum 41.
Sum 41?
Sum 41.
I'm saying against me. You want to take a guess what pop punk band he may have seen in New York City?
Ooh. He didn't name drop, so it could be anyone.
It could be anyone.
Think of the worst pop punk band you can think of, and then just say the name of it.
Unless you like pop punk, and then name the one that you like.
Exactly, which is probably the worst.
He's thinking hard. Chris is thinking.
I am thinking hard.
Yeah, he wants to name a good one.
Man, it's been a while since I listened to pop punk.
I know. Which is the correct answer?
Yes,
because you're an adult.
you're in your mid-30s. You're not filled with teen angst anymore.
You're making movies and stuff. You have businesses and nonprofits. Yeah. Voice That's Fire. Ever listen to that? Are they pop punk?
I have no idea.
I'll be honest, I don't. Really. Green Day, Rancid. Can you consider that pop punk?
Maybe. They were popular.
They were on the radio. Pop-punk.
They were. I also watched a couple of fun movies on Netflix.
Green is a good one, right? Yeah, it's a good one.
The Package and The Mansion.
The Package and The Mansion is the name of my Irish bar that I'm opening up downtown.
The Package and The Mansion?
The Package and The Mansion. Yeah, come on down to The Package and The Mansion.
And it's just... And
give
it's
me
just
some tap on me.
And it's just you, what, butt naked swinging your dick around?
Where's well, the package?
The package.
That's the package.
That's the package. In a mansion.
And then The Mansion is the...
Is the name of the bar.
It's the Maryland Mansion.
Punch you in your
stupid
face.
Damn it, sorry, wrong.
The Package is about a group of teens who go camping. One of them drunkenly cuts off his own dick, and then they have to get the severed penis of a hospital, or their friend has to live without a dick. This was cute. A lot of dicks. So if dicks and dick-based humor are your thing, you'll love it.
There
See, I was going the right way, Chris.
There we go. Dicks and dick-based humor. Okay, yeah.
The Mansion is a French horror comedy about a group of friends on a holiday in Belgium. It was fun and builds really well on its characters. I recommend The Mansion more than The Package, but both were entertaining watches. Stay cool, Billy D.
Thanks, Billy. We appreciate it. You can follow him on Facebook. I think it's on Facebook, I Love Blood. Instagram is I Love Blood. Twitter is I Love Blood. And he also has... some photography pages.
Billy D Snaps
and Billy D Takes Pics on Facebook. Anyway, he's a great photographer. He's got a good eye. Alright, Drew, let's wrap this thing up with the lightning round. Where's all the new goddamn buttons?
Like I said, you would think he'd be getting better at this throughout the ages,
right.
But instead he gets worse.
Oh, it's here. Where is it?
Benny Hill? You got Benny Hill?
We go.
There you go. Okay. We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
All right, here we go. I have 10 questions and I need 10 answers. And I need you to give me these 10 answers as quickly as possible so we can get inside your brain and learn something about you. You ready?
Sounds good.
All right, Drew, start that clock.
Cool.
Number one, do you know where I can get a taco around here?
Yes.
Number two, is it like candy and can you feel it too?
Of course.
Number three, do you believe the children are the future?
I do.
Number four, cashless business or all cash, no credit?
Ooh, cashless business.
Number five, when does the beat drop?
Anytime I'm making music.
Number six, Gene Siskel or Roger Ebert?
Ooh, I'll go Roger Ebert.
Number seven, Flaming Hot Cheetos. Yay or nay?
Yay.
Number eight, would you agree that a post-apocalyptic society might not be so bad after all?
These days, not at all.
Number nine, Disney or Universal?
Ooh, Universal.
And finally, number 10, Jim Carrey, Mariah Carey, Open Carrey, choose two.
Jim and Mariah.
Oh, you madman! Jim and Mariah, you crazy. All right.
You picked the two craziest ones.
That's going to be a wild one. Drew Sakai, break out that swag bag. We got the blue bag. We got the purple bag. Oh, I'm sorry, the green bag and the purple bag. I put the blue one away. Which one of these two bags do you maybe want to go home with?
I'm Polish. I'll go with the purple bag with the polka dots.
All right, here we go. Get that green bag. I'm throwing this in the trash.
Sir, you may get to go home with an Avengers Infinity War finger flinger. It looks... Hang on. I gotta see what the hell this actually is.
It caught your eye.
The bag is not a toy. Remember that.
Yeah, do not stick that over your head.
Okay, so I think it's like a Marvel character that's probably made out of plastic and it probably stretches. I'm going to guess...
It's like a Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, except it's a tiny shitty
one. It's a tiny shitty Marvel Stretch Armstrong. Yeah. Here you go.
I like it. All right. Shoot it out of my car window.
Here you go.
Oh, we've Watch got a carry-along activity booklet from Nickelodeon's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It includes crayons and stickers.
Nice.
Ninja Turtles, my favorite.
They're the best. They're the best.
This is Nickelodeon's Ninja Turtles. Just so you know.
Yeah, so it's a specific design.
Yes. We've got a Cinema Christmas, a bootleg edition of Repo Man.
Yes. Starring Emilio Estevez. Yeah.
We got a Gags and Jokes camera. It's the 800Z digital imaging Ja Rule?
Yeah, it's a Ja Rule camera.
Ja Rule? I think, is it Ja RV? I don't know what that is.
Jarv.
Can you actually take a picture with that?
No,
but you it's
squirts water in people's faces.
You tell people you're gonna take their picture and you squirt water right in their face.
We've also got a Super Action Spiral yo-yo.
Yo-yo!
And a bunch of stickers and magnets, etc.
Chris Majoka, all that stuff can be yours. You can take it home and have a hell of a party, or we take that bag, we put it away, and instead you take what we have in the box that Trisha Cockburn has right over here. That's right, look at that box! Look at that big old box.
What's in the fucking box?
You can take what's inside the box. You don't know what's in there. You know what's in the bag. You can take this, or what's in the box? What do you want to do?
Everybody wants to go for the extra mile here, so I'm going to go with what's in the box.
All right, go ahead and pop that top. Reach inside and tell everyone what you find inside.
Oh, very nice. We got the 24, Live Another Day. It's Deadline, James Swallow.
Yeah, written by James Swallow. So, it's a whole new 24 novel, the continuing adventures of Jack Bauer. Yeah, he even has Kiefer Sutherland on the cover there.
Is it Kiefer or is it somebody else playing Jack Bauer?
In book form, it's whoever you want it to be. Oh. Who is your personal Jack Bauer, Drew? Mine is, we already mentioned her, Kate Winslet.
That's a really odd Jack Bauer.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us, buddy.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate
it. That was a lot of fun, man. We'll have to do it again. Drew, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you everyone for downloading and listening. Remember to break up the big banks. Read more books, especially ones by Jack Swallow.
That's his name, right?
James Swallow.
That's a really awful name.
That's the gentleman's name who wrote the book. Read more books. Be excellent to each other. Break up the big banks. And free Mumia Abu-Jamal. We are out of here.
A PFT Media production.